Sermon title today is Let Heaven Rule. And if you will turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel, we're not going to be in Daniel for very long today, but I want us to go back there today, and that's going to be our place that we are going to start from today. So go to the book of Daniel and chapter 4. The book of Daniel and chapter 4. So to give you a little bit of background, just a little bit before we start today, we know that the Jewish people had been exiled to the nation of Babylon. And they had been exiled there because of their disobedience to God and because of their failure to follow His word. So we pick it up at verse 25 because Nebuchadnezzar, he was the world leader, and he had a dream, and nobody could interpret that dream, but Daniel could. So in verse 25, it says, "They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever He chooses. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules." No matter how powerful that you think you are in your kingdom, it is going to be laid to waste. There is going to be nothing but a stump and the roots to that stump. Why? Because man does not rule on earth, brother and sister. God rules. Heaven rules. It says it more than once in this chapter. In the end of verse 25, "Till you know that Most High rules." Verse 26 at the end, "After you come to know that heaven rules." So now turn with me to another very familiar scripture. It is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 in the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. And sometimes we repeat this and we share it, but we don't stop and think for a moment about what it means. But in verse 9 of Matthew chapter 6, "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." Now listen to the words, "on earth as it is in heaven." Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Verse 10, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." My Lord and my God, you rule this earth. Heaven rules this earth. The Lord Jesus, in Daniel, He says that He brings leaders up and He takes leaders down. He puts them in the position that He wants them to be in, and when He is done with them, He moves them out of power. That is the kind of God that we serve today. Don't ever think that this world is lost, God is out of control, and nothing good is going to happen, because heaven rules. I'm going to keep repeating that over and over today. Nebuchadnezzar did not rule. And Daniel told him that. Biden does not rule. Putin does not rule. Our God in heaven rules. Lord, I want your will to be done in my life, in this nation, as it is in heaven. That's each and every one of us should be saying that. Lord, I want your will to be done in my life, in this nation, as it is in heaven. Saints, we need to be led by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need to be led by the principles of God, and the principles of God are God's Word. As Christians today, are you led by the Spirit of God? The Word tells us they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God. Are you led by the Spirit of God? Are you obeying the principles of God, that you're obeying His Word in everything that you do, everything that you think, everything you think you're going to accomplish in life? Are you submitting that to the Lord? This church needs to be led by His Spirit and by the principles of God's Word. Our nation needs to be led by His Spirit and the principles of God's Word. So a few weeks ago, someone said to me, do you or are you preaching politics at Crossroads Gospel Church? And I said, no, I do not preach politics at Crossroads Gospel Church. I preach the principles of God's Word. The principles of God's Word should guide every aspect of our life. And those same principles, now listen to me, those same principles should guide our political decisions. I do not support the Republican Party, so I want you to know this right off the bat. I do not support the Republican Party. I do not support the Democrat Party. In fact, to be honest with you, I don't like either one of them. I want God to rule, and because I do, I vote for the one that is closest to the principles of God. Because as Christians, that's what we need to be voting, is the principles of God. Because we want to be led by the Spirit of God. We want to be led by the principles of God. We want our nation to be led by the Spirit of God. We want our nation to be led by the principles of God. Then we should be voting for those that are closest to the principles of God. This nation is not a democracy. We're going to do some government today. This nation is not a democracy. It is a constitutional republic, represented by the people and for the people. So what is a constitutional republic? We send those and we put those in office that will represent us. It's not just about having the votes. It's about representing the people. Our leaders on both sides of the aisle today have seemed to forgotten that they need to represent the people. In the church, we are a theocracy. A theocracy meaning that we are God-led. So do we vote on things? Yes, we do vote on things. First, we pray. We seek God's leading. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And then we vote. Well, why do we vote? So we can move forward with a decision. Throughout the building process, we had what? We had unity. The vote is to show the unity. If you think that as a pastor, if you say you're going to have a vote for Leo and Carol, you're going to have a confidence vote for Leo and Carol Friel. And if you say that we're going to have this vote and 50% of the vote is for no, that we are to leave, but 51% of the vote says yes, you should stay. Do you think that I'm going to say, well, we got that covered because we got more that voted for us that didn't vote for us, and we're going to stay and make 50% of your congregation being upset and allow a split to take place in your congregation because you had your way? You did not recognize the confidence of the people because there was a representative that said no. There was a representative percentage that was very high that said no. Carol and Leo would leave the church. When you go to the Senate and you're voting in the Senate and you got 50 that say no to a bill and you got 50 that say yes to a bill and they're split down the middle and we got to bring the vice president in to vote and to split that vote, that is wrong because it is not representing the people. You can't take 50% of your people and love them and wrap your arms around them and kick the other 50% out in our country. And that's what we have done. And that's what caused the division. Because we are not representing the people. It doesn't matter to me whether you love Trump or you hate Trump or you love Biden or you hate Biden. But we need to move forward with unity. And if we can't move forward in unity, we should not move. This church, if we couldn't move forward in unity, I would have said, we do not have enough unity to make this decision. We need to wait, and we need to pray about it. We in this church, if you've ever gone to one of our council meetings, we all agree. If we don't agree, we do nothing. In the church body, we agree. We move forward in unity. If we haven't got unity, we need to take a step back. We need to review it. We need to pray about it. We vote to show unity. We vote to show harmony. We vote to show God's leading. And this is something that our nation has forgotten. You will hear Christians say, I don't think that we should have anything to do with politics. If the Christian makes that decision, then we turn the choices of this nation over to an unbelieving world. So no, we as Christians in America, in regards to voting, you need to vote. Being led by the Spirit of God for those that stand closest to God's principles, which are His Word. When you go fishing with Pastor Leo, and you need to go to the bathroom, I'm going to tell you to go downstream, because everything that goes in bad upstream is going to come downstream. Politics are downstream. Downstream of what? They are downstream of our culture. Our culture is downstream from what? Our culture is downstream from our faith. All of a sudden, we're getting back to the church, aren't we? We just keep working back upstream. Our politics, upstream's our culture. Upstream of our culture is our educational system. Upstream of our educational system is what? It lands squarely on the church. The church has walked away from God, and when the church walks away from God, you see what kind of a nation that you get out of it. You get indecisiveness, fighting. There's no unity. There's no group that we're working together as a nation. And we should have harmony in our nation. And our political leaders can bring harmony in this nation if they take all of the things they got in their back pocket and leave it in the other room and come in and say, you know what, we're just a bunch of people. We want God's will. And we want not only God's will, we want the people's will. And if we can come together on this, then that's what we should do. If we can't come together on it, then we wait. We wait. Our culture, our politics, are not created in a vacuum. They're created through faith. Faith in something. Is our nation a nation of people that are saying, God's will be done, that heaven rules? And the answer is no. America has turned to idolatry. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, I'll get you back in the Word. Usually wear you out going from Scripture to Scripture, not so much today, but we need to get back in the Word. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 says, and God spoke all these words, saying, this is Exodus 20, verse 1, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. And you see the word gods there is with a little g. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. When man says, I will rule, I know best, I will make the decisions. God, we do not need you. We have a nation that has turned itself over to idolatry. You see, Satan doesn't care what you worship as long as you don't worship him. You get that? He doesn't care if you go fishing every Sunday. He doesn't care if you go hunting every Sunday. He doesn't care if you go to the bar every Sunday. He doesn't care if you do any of those things, as long as you don't worship the one true God, the Lord God of heaven. When you worship the Lord God of heaven, that's the one we need to be worshiping, we need to be praising, and we need to be seeking His guidance and direction. But He is tickled to death of this nation. Satan's really proud of America because it has left its moral base. It has left its love for God, where God was on the throne of this nation from our founding forefathers. And we have said, God, you know what? We are smart enough. We are powerful enough. We have enough education. We can run this country all by ourselves. We don't need you anymore. And the start of that is when we kick God out of the school system. It's not that we kick, the big thing is not that we kick God out of the school system. Because all the kids can go there and pray. Everyone can sit there quietly at the dinner table and pray if they want to. What the issue is the principle of the fact that you don't need God. And when you take the standing that you do not need God, then you've just taken him off the throne and you've placed yourself on the throne. And what does he say here? That our God is a jealous God. He says, shall not bow down, in verse 5, to them that serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. God will not share his throne with man. And that's exactly what our political system has done, because that's what our culture has done. In Proverbs 14:12, if you turn with me there, Proverbs 14:12. It says this, Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to man, but it's the end is the way of death. And the word death here means what? Eternal separation from God. There is a way that seems right to man, but it ends in the way of death. I want God to rule. You want God to rule. You know why this church is growing? I believe that one of the reasons is because God has done such a stirring in this area. I've shared this story with many people, quite a few people. And if you remember the story in the Bible, it talks about the pool Bethesda. And it says, tradition said that at a certain time, an angel would come down and stir the water. And whoever would be the first one that could get in that water would be healed completely of whatever infirmity that they had. So the people would all line around this pool, and they would wait for the stirring of the water. In this area, and I don't know how large this area is, God is doing a stirring, and he's going to continue to stir, and he's going to continue to stir. The gospel of Jesus Christ grows the most and the fastest when it is compressed. In other words, persecution, adversity. There's people out there in the world that are just like you and me, and they want something that they can hook their life to that's stable. And in this world out there, we don't have anything stable. But when you turn the Word of God and it says it's unchanging, it's unmoving, it's pure, it does not move, it does not change. It's something that I can hook my life to for stability in my life. And we have a nation of people out there that are crying out for stability and they don't even recognize it. Brother and sister, you're the one that has the Word. You're the one that holds the truth. You have something that you know because of your life in Jesus that you can provide for them that will provide stability and will provide something that they can tie their life to that is not going to change. And the Word of God never changes. Heaven rules. Heaven rules. Sometimes I'm like you. I don't see it quite as quick as I want, Lord, but the Lord's in control. His hand is upon it. In his will and his timing, it will be done. I would say, God, I want you to lead me in every aspect of my life by your Spirit and by the principles of your Word. And I pray that you feel the same way. You want God to lead you in every aspect of your life through the Word and through His presence, because we most certainly need that in our church today. I would ask if you would join me in that today, and if Carol would come back to the piano, and I would ask that for those that are involved in the valet, if they could go back out. The rest of us, if you turn in your hymn book, is it 300, Carol? Page 300 in your hymn book. And if you'll stand with me as we sing this unto the Lord today, because we're going to sing it unto Him.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back.
Glory. Father, we just thank you for the service today and your blessing. And we thank you, Father, for your presence in this place. We pray that, Lord, as we leave and go our separate ways, that your hand would be upon each and every one of our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.